And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 782. We're here to recap your week 25 fab, two more fab weeks to go after this. The grind continues on. In order to help me recap fab and talk about grinding the final few weeks of the season, as a man that is in the top 10 in the main event overall this season, you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. And my co-host, as usual, on Mondays, Ben Tidd. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Bubba. I was stressing over my lineups this morning for that main event you alluded to and asking around for some opinions. And I think I got a good one set, but it's not with the only, with so little time left, you can't really afford to have a blow up. And there's nothing worse than a pitcher blow up in a roto league. So just trying to avoid that. But yeah, and fab, I haven't really been able to look at fab yet, but just based on what I did, there wasn't a lot of action. So it should be a relatively quick fab discussion.
It should be a quick fab discussion. We'll recap a little bit of news. We'll recap some rest of season pitching schedules. That's probably the most important piece of the episode. And then we'll talk about some fab recaps. We'll get you in and out quickie, most likely, on a Monday here as we get towards the end of the season. And before you know it, Ben and I were already talking about 2026 DCs before the show. So you never know. We'll be back at it. I'm still trying to get him to join the early crew. I doubt he does it. He's disciplined. I'm not. But we'll see if myself and Ryan and others can get him to jump into one by at least like December. Like we'll see how it goes. So
that's when the prep usually starts. So I don't know. It'll be a matter of timing.
I'd say you probably do what you do best because there's a reason you finish high every year, and then we just kind of throw money into the wind. So maybe stick to your normal prep and just laugh at us idiots.
Well, the DCs are okay, and I still wait, and I still have injury issues anyway. So I don't know what the perfect the recipe is for avoiding that. There isn't one, I don't think, but
I need Steve Weimer's sheet that tells me don't draft these guys. That will be okay, because that guy's just a machine when it comes to draft champions. It's amazing, truly amazing to see. All right, let's get to a couple tidbits of news and notes here. Trey Turner left Sunday's game with a hamstring injury on Monday. Trey Turner went to the IL with a grade one hamstring strain, likely ending his season. The Phillies are saying they hope to have him back by the postseason, maybe at the end of the season, but postseason is all they care about in Philadelphia. So Trey Turner is basically a drop in. Anything of insight? We had some questions in the Discord, like who should I pick up at shortstop for the rest of the week? And we've got the bus driver involved, the Sung Kim and others. What are your thoughts on Trey Turner done for the season?
It stinks. I do. So across my portfolio of teams, I have him on two of my five that are competing for winning their league. So I definitely feel this one. There's no replacement on the Phillies. I would say I would not go adding Edmundo Sosa, only in like an NL only maybe, because he maybe could steal a base or something. But I, for a normal mixed league, I wouldn't go after Sosa. But so with that said, it kind of depends on how your league's looking in terms of the other shortstop available. Yeah, you mentioned Otto Lopez as an ad in the Discord. I actually added him, Otto Lopez, in my home league because it's one of the teams where I had Trey Turner. So he was available and I added him, and he was like by far the most obvious shortstop replacement. I didn't have to look long because it was pretty ugly, even in a 12 teamer. It's a little bit it's kind of like a OC size 12 teamer, but there weren't a lot of good options. And right now, whether you're in playoffs like I am, or it's just the last 3 weeks of a roto season, it's pretty annoying that you're losing your second or third round pick probably. And we're assuming that he's done for the year, but a strain is probably at least 2 weeks, and there's 3 weeks left. So I guess come Sunday, probably drop him.
And it's always the good old Monday drop, or Monday news drop, where you could have potentially tried to fab something on Sunday. Hopefully you saw that he's hurt, or not you, but people in general saw that he was hurt and could at least, get a backup just in case type situation. That would be something very smart to do in the meantime. All right, next bit of news here. Staying with the Philadelphia Phillies, Alec Bohm to the IL with shoulder inflammation. The Phillies are hoping to have him back within at the end of the season, similar timeline to Trey Turner. Bohm's been off and on the IL throughout the season. He's also been batting average good, but that's about it as usual. Any thoughts on this? And again, pretty tricky to replace this time of the year.
It is. Looks like Otto Kemp is the projected fill-in per roster resource. Who's the? Oh, didn't they have a better prospect that was up playing the corners earlier in the year, the Phillies?
That's a great question. It feels like they might have, and I totally just blanked on it. I will look it up while you discuss.
I'm trying to look through the depth chart.
I know Kemp came up the last time Bowman on the IL and played a ton at third base.
Maybe it was Otto.
Yeah, he was a popular one that came up earlier and got plenty of run there.
Yeah, but his numbers weren't running that good. He only had four homers, 161 plate appearances, 228 average, one steal, two caught stealings. So, yeah, I would probably avoid Otto Kemp as well. I think he was the one who was kind of, now that I think about it, because I was looking for better like homers and counting stats because I thought the guy was better than this, but I think it is actually Otto Kemp. So, yeah, once again, not a one-for-one Philly replacement, but at the same time, their lineup's taking a hit with these injuries because those are two pretty big pieces. Once you get past – so now that projected lineup's actually – Harper, Schwarber, Real Muto, Marsh, Bader, Kepler. So that 4-6 is not very scary. So yeah. I'm not saying to target the Phillies, but maybe you don't avoid them over the last 3 weeks, even with like a lefty. So maybe I should start up Sean Manaea. Oh, well.
Hey. Hey, live and learn.
Yeah.
But the Phillies offense is looking much more depleted. This is true. At the same time, they still have Schwarber. They still have Harper. They still have Realmuto who's swinging it okay. Brandon Marsh is starting to swing well. Harper's leading off on Monday night. They've mixed up the whole lineup right now. So we'll see where they go. They still have some talent on that team. Otto Kemp has thump. So we'll see how that pans out, but I wouldn't go beat yourself up too much on that one. All right, Sean Murphy. He gets to the IL. He'll be done for the season. He has a hip injury. It was a hip tear that's going to require surgery to repair hopefully – like next week have surgery, maybe this week. He'll be back next year unless something crazy happens with Sean Murphy. But I was actually looking at him on Sunday because I have him in some other deeper leagues, and he only played twice the last week. His playing time has diminished tremendously anyways. Could have been because he's banged up. Who knows, Ben? But a down season for a guy I was a full fade of when it came to Fab season. What are your thoughts on Sean Murphy? Because basically the counter pursuit is a Drake Baldwin season for sure for the final few weeks.
Yeah, I pulled up the lineup trackers to get a sense of what was going on. And I don't have any of the Braves catchers anywhere, so I kind of been ignorant of the situation. But yeah, Baldwin is definitely guaranteed to finish out the season, probably playing almost every day. He's a left-handed hitter, right, Baldwin?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so it probably means more – PT, more starts versus lefties for him, which maybe you don't want that. Maybe you do. I'm not sure how the splits are for Baldwin, but he's been hitting fourth in the Braves lineup. They've been a little bit hotter lately, but so it's a prime spot for a catcher. And it sounds like a pretty painful injury for Murphy. So he's a drop, and I don't think, Sandy Leon is not going to be worth adding to replace him. So if you're relying on Sean Murphy, this kind of stinks. And There were some catcher ads last couple of weeks, but I don't know. This week, then, I didn't really feel like there were many catchers available.
There were a few. We'll talk about them. There was like Francisco Alvarez. Well, maybe not in your 15s. You're correct. Like Francisco Alvarez came back.
It's all perspective.
A few others like that. But yes, to your 15s point, I always remember that. Like after I start opening my mouth, typical me, kind of putting my foot in my mouth situation.
Stevenson was available though.
There you go. So he was another guy, but then he's not starting on Monday. I just laughed. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. unbelievable stuff. It's that time of the year where it's like, yeah, let's get our veterans to work, but at the same time, let's take it easy is what it comes down to. And is what it is. All right. The last bit of news here after Sean Murphy is this one hurts tremendously. Now, to be fair, pretty sure I got my fab money out of this already. So we're good there. Still stinks. Daniel Palencia heads to the IL with a right shoulder strain. Pretty sure that pretty much wraps up the rest of his season, Ben. What are your thoughts on Palencia? And then the big conversation in our Discord and other places is how do the Cubs fill in the closing situation, I guess?
Yeah, I know this hit you because of your reaction to his poor outing last night or 2 nights ago, whatever it was, Palencia's. And it seems like he's done for the year. And based on, let me go to Roster Resource. So Roster Resource thinks that Brad Keller is the closer. So does Closer Monkey, which is also Reliever Recon. They have Keller as the closer. I didn't go for Keller or even Kittredge in my NFBC leagues because those are kind of set with either having saves or punting them. But I did add Keller this morning in my home league because I have, I had Justin Topa. He's kind of been struggling and hurt. So I figured, okay, well, I'll go for Keller there. And this is kind of incredible to see Keller actually be a good reliever, but you see it so often. Like the obvious example that I know best right now is Luke Weaver, because he was a terrible starter and now he's one of the premier setup guys, and he was a good closer when he was serving as his closer last year, and then when Williams was bad this year. So I don't know if – I think Keller's throwing harder now, but if you look at his stats, he has a 2.17 ERA and a 0.96 whip in 62 and a third innings. So he's found a great role as a closer, and I think he was a must-add if you need saves.
Yeah, he was a very, very top-end ad. There's we joked the other Chicago closer was the preferred ad this week. Yeah. But yes, he was towards the top of the priority list for sure. And we'll have a lot more discussion on that here later in the show.
Well, now that it Keller is more like the guy, I think I agree. Because of the team context, that he would be the better ad over Jordan Leisure, who we were alluding to. But
let's make sure he still is the guy, though. That's what I want to see.
Kittredge, right? Kittredge has the, I guess, past experience somewhat. So it makes, but I don't know, we'll see.
I agree on paper. It looks like it should be Keller. You mentioned all the stats that support that claim. I still got to see it with some of these teams. Some of these teams just don't want to play by the rules. It's the nicest way I'll say it. The rules of fantasy, you know, the ones we created, Ben. They got to follow these rules.
And the ones that actually matter.
Exactly. So we'll see how that pans out in the coming days. All right, let's get to it. Our weekly rest of season schedule outlook that Ben Ted put together so nicely. Before we get talking about some players here, Ben, again, give the listeners a quick little synopsis of what we'll be looking at here.
All right, so we are now down to 3 weeks of baseball left. So we're looking at the next 3 weeks of projected starters per RotoWire. And then to combine with their starters grid, we are looking at the rest of season schedule for each team, which is pulled from Fangraphs, and then the last 30 days for team hitting overall and also by handedness, so versus lefty versus righties, which I also got from Fangraphs. Just marry it all together, and Bub and I have two lists, one of all lefties, one of all righties, and then they're sorted by their opponent's average WRC plus over the next 3 to 4 games for most of them. Four if they have a two-start week, three if they don't. And we're going to go through the ones that have the best schedule. So on average, the lowest opponent WRC plus versus whichever side they throw from.
Yep, going to love it. And as we mentioned last week, we started this exercise, lefties were dominating baseball. It's pretty much even, and righties might have a slight advantage these days. And obviously there's statistics involved based on volume and differences there. But just in a general sense, righties have definitely come into play. If you look, once we get going here, some of the best matchups are actually on the right-handed side of things. So that'll be quite telling going forward. But when we start from the lefties, don't think we need to talk Tariq Skubal. Don't think we need to talk Chris Sale. Do want to ask you about Jeffrey Springs, Ben. Jeffrey Springs gets Boston this week, at Boston next week, at Pitt next week. So nice two-step there if he can get through Boston. And then versus Kansas City. So he's got 4 starts coming up here, Ben. It's a pretty favorable schedule when you're looking at Springs. Average of an 81.2 WRC plus again. Boston has struggled tremendously over the last month versus lefties. KC has been okay. Pittsburgh's been pretty rough as well, Ben. But we got a guy in Jeffrey Springs who had a run where he's pretty good, and things have kind of dwindled a bit. Do we look at something like this? And Springs is still probably widely rostered, not going to deny that. But is this one of those where you look at that schedule, the guys allowed three runs or less in 3 straight starts? Are we back on the Springs train?
I don't know if I want a ticket yet, but I'm debating buying one, I guess. So definitely has great matchups based on how his opponents have been hitting. So even though it's versus the Red Sox this week, so if you're playing a weekly setup, it's actually tomorrow's start. Maybe it's too late to adjust your lineup by the time you're listening to this, but because it's in Oakland, well, I said it, damn it. Since he's in Sacramento, it's definitely a scarier matchup. Even if it's in Fenway, it's kind of tricky too, but I'm all for the start next week when he's in Fenway, then also in Pittsburgh for the 2-start week. And then even though he's facing the Royals at home, they're the Royals, so I think I'm good with the last 3 starts for Springs. But even so, I was looking at his underlying numbers from the last 3 weeks or so. He only has a K-minus walk of 10.6%. His Sierra is 4.5, but his XFIP is 3.87. Swing strike rate's only 11%. Not, it's okay for a starter, and Some other metrics are mixed. Like the EV is good, but the ball percentage is bad. So he's just been okay lately, Springs. But in terms of streaming, if you're desperate for volume, I definitely target next week's two-star week versus the Red Sox and the Pirates, and then probably just keep him for the Royals. So, yeah, I think if you're reacting after this week is already locked, then I think he's a good target.
Yep, I'm with you. I think we're back there. The two-step on the road, yes, Boston seems scary, but we just mentioned that that's actually one of the best matchups he has coming up here. So that stands out a bit, and I think there is some serious upside when it comes to some Jeffrey Springs. All right, a guy that I'm pretty sure I picked up in at least one 15-team league this past week due to waterfall situations is Cade Povich. Cade Povich is next up here. He's got the fourth best remaining schedule from the left side. He's got three games coming up, Ben. He gets to face Pittsburgh at home this weekend. Next week, he goes on the road to the White Sox, and then he's at home against Tampa Bay. All three matchups look pretty favorable, the White Sox being the hardest of the three, Ben. We've talked about it before. Love the strikeout appeal of Cade Povich. He does have some good starts. Can blow up on you. A little Kikuchi-esque, actually. Where are you at on Cade Povich here, where I was kind of more buying into the strikeout upside and, you know, a couple of good starts down the stretch here?
I agree with you there. I wouldn't target Povich unless my ratios are all right. So, like in my good main event, for example, he's not someone I would trust to get through even these good matchups. But if I'm sitting pretty well with ERA and WHIP in a standalone league or something, and I just need volume with Ks, and he should have a decent shot at wins too, because the Orioles could easily beat all three of those teams. The race might be a little tougher, but I think the wins could be there as well. It just thinks that he only has three starts left versus four, like we talked about with Springs. But looking at Povich's underlying numbers, he's got a little unlucky with the left on base. It's only 63, over the last 3 weeks, it's only 63%. Sierra is high, except a little elevated around 406. The swing strike isn't there either, so he's kind of just getting by on luck, it seems like, or not luck. But and the K rate's only 19.7% at that time too. So I'm not even getting a ton of Ks, but he does have potential because you kind of alluded to it. He has had plenty of starts with 7+ Ks this year, Povich. So, and these are bad teams. So he could turn those skills around by having some big strikeout games, which I think is possible. Yeah. He only had three last game, five before that, but he faced the Padres, Red Sox and Astros. Definitely a much tougher schedule in Povich's last three than his next three. So yeah, this, if your ratios are okay, then I get it, but just be careful.
Yep, be careful indeed. There's definitely some upside there, but he could burn you with the best of them is what it comes down to with Mr. Cade Povich. Max Fried's been really good of late. Don't think we have to talk about a ton about him. Andrew Alvarez is the guy we talked about last week. He has two starts left, one's against Atlanta, one's against Pittsburgh. The Atlanta one's tricky. I was going to throw it out there because I know you did add him in a 15 as like a kind of down the road, like down the road of your waterfall, I should say, down the stream of your waterfall. Any thoughts on Andrew Alvarez? Because we did talk about him in our little chat beforehand to kind of air out some questions with him.
Yeah, so the two starts are the Pirates this week and the Braves next week. I ended up sitting Alvarez versus the Pirates this week. I was looking at his underlying numbers, and despite having okay success, and I think he's had two starts so far in his career, not the best numbers, mainly because he has a 2.6 K minus walk. He has a 12.8% walk rate, only 15% K rate. He's throwing almost half as many balls as strikes Alvarez is. So I may say that he's almost throwing half of his pitches as balls, 45% over that period. So it's been ugly, even though he's had some pretty good results, and I didn't want to risk that in this main event. I added him in another 15. I think I ended up just playing him because of the matchup, and that team isn't really competing. So I said, why not? And the BABIP's been 111, and the left on base is 92.1%. So this right there tells you that he's had good luck with his results so far. So, and because it's the Braves next, who have been doing pretty well, I think I will be looking to drop Alvarez, and I probably won't even start him at all, which is okay. But he was there this week for insurance in case something happened. And
yep, for sure,
I'll just cut him.
No, that's why I wanted to bring him up. We talked about that exact thing. You get him just in case things worked out in your favor where you didn't need to use him, and you kind of move on in that situation. Let's talk at Eduardo Rodriguez, E-Rod. He's got four games remaining this season. Another guy similar to Povich, where we've seen the good, we've seen the bad. E-Rod gets the Giants in San Francisco this week. Next week, he's home versus the Giants. The following week, a two-step home versus the Dodgers at the Padres. On paper, that sounds bad, Ben, but and it's actually kind of close to just league average is what this turns out to. That's where the lefties aren't as dominant as they once were. That's where it stands out a lot. Dodgers are a 107, Giants 94.8, Padres 95.9, obviously Giants 94.8. So almost a bunch of middle-of-the-pack teams here when it comes to our league average teams. Does that make you stray away from Erod, or are you still interested in the situation?
Yeah, even in maybe an NL only, because I pulled up the same underlying metrics that we talked about with the other guys, and Erod's K-minus walk the last 3 weeks is 3.4%. The CR is over 5. His FIP's almost, his XFIP's almost 5. He's arguably worse than Alvarez skills-wise over the last 3 weeks, and you kind of mentioned it with it's just all relative that he's high on the lefty list, but it's not the best matchups just because of how the league has kind of turned things around versus lefties lately. So I would be very scared of starting Erod at all because the Diamondbacks, well, I guess versus the Giants, they're kind of an equal opponent, but the Padres and the Dodgers are would definitely be favorites in those in that last week. So you wouldn't even want to use them maybe for the two-star week because the win probably will be low and the explosion to your ratio is probably be very high. So I would probably avoid Erod if I could.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm leaning with him. I've always been an Erod fan, but doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies. Now, like I said, we're at his combined opponents, WRC West on average, 98.1. Kyle Freeland, don't want to talk about him. Martin Perez, now we're already getting to league above league average, 100.9. We've raved about Perez on this show, on Bubba and the Boom and others. He got destroyed in his last start, absolutely murked in his last start. But when you look at Martin Perez, everything else has been great. He gets some upcoming matchups at Cleveland, which we all love. First, Baltimore, not bad. At the Yankees, kind of scary, Ben. So when you look at Martin Perez's final three starts here, like I said, yeah, Cleveland's a 69.4. Baltimore's up to 109.7. Now, that was down for a while. Yankees at 123.6. Good riddance. But he just crushed the Yankees a couple starts back. So where do you sit on Martin Perez? Because I know you felt the wrath last week. I did. Many others did. Because he's been so good. It was a real shame to see that one take place.
It was. I finally played him in my DCs, and I kind of regretted it where I did. So I have him in 5 DCs, just as a reminder, Martin Perez. I'm playing him in 4 of the 5 versus the Guardians this week. I'm willing to risk him being okay in that matchup, but this was the outing that I was scared of happening. I forget who he – it was a good matchup, but who was it? It was like the White Sox? He's on the White Sox. Who was he facing last week?
That's what I'm trying to figure out now. Who was it that Martin Perez – I'll find out for you right now.
Yeah, but
– it was a cookie matchup. I know that much. It was probably the Guardians. No, I'm going to say it out loud, but pulled it up. It was Detroit Tigers. 6 runs in 4 innings. No strikeouts.
No. So I remember looking – they had like a 137 WRC plus versus lefties, and I was like, well, is that really – going to sustain? And yeah, it sustained. So
as a matter of fact, it did.
So I would play him this week. When it comes to the Orioles next week, I'll debate it, but I will probably not start him the final week for the Yankees, even though he did shut them down. They were kind of in a little bit of a lull when they went there because it was like that weekend in Chicago. They didn't really score a lot of runs no matter who they faced. So I think they're going to snap. Well, they've already started snapping out of it anyway. So I think Perez is maybe a 1.5 start guy, and then you can cut him.
Yep, totally fine on that. Anybody else on the lefty side? Like I said, it's only going to get tougher when it comes to these matchups. You got Kershaw, you're playing Peterson, Manaea, who you talked about. Messick's still here, and Messick threw well again this last time. We were kind of worried about him. His opponent's WRC plus is on average of 102.6. He's got the Twins twice, Texas, White Sox. White Sox are 99.2. That's the lowest one he gets. But again, like I said, he pitched really well his last time out.
He did. He's been one of the better rookie ads. We've had a lot to them lately. Even your boy totally got roughed up and is out of the rotation for now. So, yeah, I like these starts for Messick. The Rangers have been hit or miss. I could see doing it. I don't have his underlying skills up Messick's, but I'm going to see how he's doing because I just want to see. I know he gave up a few hits in his last start. I was looking at box scores. Yeah, he's had a high BABIP last 3 weeks. Messick 365 again, so that's been a little unlucky. Good Sierra 377, good XFIP 330. the swing strike isn't there. It's 9.7%, but the K minus walk is about average, 15.6, because he's not walking anybody. So as long as he's not walking anybody, he should be okay, Messick. So I would definitely prefer Messick over Perez, Erod, even Povich too, even though they have better matchups. So it's not by much. It's 102 versus mid to upper 90s. So I think, and even the Twins are 101, but they lost most of the lineup to trade. So I think I would go with Messick if you need to in the next 3 weeks.
Yep, I think we are on the same page on that one. I think he's definitely pitched much better than most of us thought, I think, when all things are there. Your boy Mitchell Parker, I actually picked him up at a 15, Ben. Are you in the Mitchell Parker game this week after all the discussions we've had in recent weeks about how great his schedule is and we are terrified of what's to come?
Yeah, let me do the same check with my DCs. So I have Mitchell Parker in three DCs. He's starting in two of three. He's sitting in one that's competing. He's sitting in the one that's in second in this league. He's starting in the one that's in first. I think I needed volume in the one that's in first. And he's been bad, Parker, but in his last two starts, he's only had, well, I'll go back three starts. In the last three starts, he has two walks and 14 Ks. So that's a pretty good ratio over 16 innings. The left on base has been hurting him, I believe, if I were to look that up, because looking at how his numbers look as a whole, let me get Mitchell Parker here. Yeah, his left on base is only 60%. His K minus walk is 17.1%. Wow, this is surprising. Mitchell Parker's swinging strike rate last 3 weeks is 14%.
That's really good for him.
Yeah, that's like how he, well, that's better than what he was last year. Because I was looking at his year-over-year stats, and he had so many more Ks last year. His K rate just nosedived this year for some reason. Sierra and XFIP are just below 4. So against the Pirates Pirates of the Marlins, I feel like you got to start him. Well, you don't have to start him, but he's definitely not like an absolute no. Because I heard some two-star pods talking about like just flat out said no, but he hasn't been that bad lately. Like he's been bad on the year, but with these matchups and he's been pitching better lately, I think Parker in the deeper leagues is okay. But I mean, I started him in 3 out of 4 leagues where I have him. So I'm crazy, but I'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know I got him at least one or two DCs and maybe I think one fab league. He's rolling now this week. So I'm on board with what you're saying. And I'm sorry that there's some two-step shows that are giving you false advice. Cause the guy in the chat here, Ryan Bloomfield, he mentioned that we talked about him in the Thursday night fab show and I was on board him. Not so much. I want to flip over to the right-handed side of things, unless you do have any more lefties to discuss. I don't think there's a whole lot, unless I'm missing something here.
No, it gets up to like 110 pretty quickly. Yeah. So,
all right. I want to head to Steven Kolek, who leads the way here. Now, there's only one game projected for him. That's why he has an average of 63.8 WRC plus, because he gets the Cleveland Guardians this week. So that was a phenomenal stream. But I want to mention him as a guy that I think sticks in the rotation longer because he's in place of Lugo. So right now, people like project or sites are projecting Lugo back next week against Seattle, which, you know, Seattle's good, not world beaters right now. So something to keep in mind. And then it gets at the Angels. Like if Lugo doesn't come back this year, those could be Kolek's three starts. That's why it's pure speculation. No idea if this actually takes place, but we're at that time of the season. He's thrown three straight starts of 6 innings or more and 2 runs or less. Those are called quality starts. Just doesn't strike a ton of guys out, gets you close to 5 a game if possible. Does that interest you at all in Mr. Steven Kolek, who he could be a 15-team type play?
He could. The low K rate is just really tough because I feel like he's going to get well, the thing, though, in his favor, kind of like with Parker, is that his walk rate's only 2% over the last 3 weeks, Kolek's. But the contact metrics that I have here, like the EV, the hard hit percentage, even the zone contact rates, they're all pretty poor. So I think I had him in a bid list this past week. Kolek, but I'm not as enthusiastic about playing him. Definitely for the Guardian start, I would play him for this week, but I'd avoid the Mariners. And then what was the last one you were projecting possibly?
Angels.
Yeah, where are the Angels? He's a right-handed pitcher, right? Yeah, well, the Angels, they've been bad. versus righties, 79.9 WRC plus last 30 days. So maybe two out of three, I'd start him. I'd try to avoid the Mariners.
Totally.
Assuming he gets that start.
Yeah, this is, again, it's pure speculation, but I'm just trying to play the game at this point in the season. Brian Wu, Jake Mizorowski. Miz was great on Sunday, by the way. George Kirby, don't really have to talk a ton about them. I want to get your thoughts on a struggling pitcher right now and one, Chucky Morton. Charlie Morton was really good when he joined Detroit, and people were thinking, okay, he's back. It's disappeared. Morton has at Miami this week, versus Atlanta next week, finishes with at Cleveland. So this is where it gets tough, Ben. Atlanta's barely above league average. Cleveland's 63.8, Miami 94.3. This is a good schedule to try to take advantage of to finish the season here. Morton allowed 3 runs over 3 innings his last start, 6 runs over 3 2/3, 5 runs over 5. To say it's been a rough go is an understatement. Are you okay with Charlie Morton with this schedule and recent performance?
I don't know if I'm okay. I don't think I'll ever be okay with Charlie Morton anymore. I have him on one team. It's a DC. It's the DC that's in second right now, and I did start him versus the Marlins. For context, I chose Morton over Camilo Duvall, Devin Williams, Andre Pallante, and actually Mitchell Parker. I think I needed ratio protection more than I needed volume. So I think that's why I went over Morton over Parker. I sat Caden Dana, who's pitching this week, and I had Kramer, but he's out this week. So I had options, but I went with Charlie Morton versus the Marlins, and I would – so I pulled up his underlying stats as well. Left on bases has been pretty low for him. The problem with Morton's been the walk rate, 14% over the last 3 weeks. So that's causes CR and XFIP to be pretty inflated there in the mid to upper fours. And same thing with whoever we just talked about last, I forget who it was, but the exit velocity against Morton has been pretty bad as well. So definitely risky. This is like definitely a 15-team play, though. I would not want to try to play Morton in 12s, but I would do this week and then the final week potentially versus the Guardians. I would avoid the Braves matchup.
Agreed. Merrill Kelly has 4 pretty nice starts coming up here. Milwaukee's always tricky, but there's games against Minnesota, Cleveland, Houston. You're pretty much rolling him. I want to ask you about your boy Cam Schlittler, who he's been awesome for us this season. Fell apart last start. This will happen with young pitchers, just pitchers in general, but he hit a road bump, a speed bump, to say the least here. Got 4 more starts this year. Schlittler gets Detroit at home, at Minnesota, at Baltimore for a 2-step next week, and then wraps up with versus Baltimore, assuming all these starts happen. Maybe they try to limit his innings. Who knows? But when you're looking at the schedule, it's like Baltimore's a 93-4. He gets them twice. Detroit's 86-8. Minnesota's 81-2. And Cam's been one of the most solid guys we've had for a long time. Are we cool with just one hiccup and we love these 4 starts, or – where are you at being a Yankees fan and a Cam Schlittler manager?
Yeah, so I have Cam in my main event that's in the top 10. So I was very annoyed as a Yankee fan and as a fantasy manager during that start this past week. And so watching the game, it was really just the Blue Jays. They kept fouling off every pitch possible. He had 40 pitches in the first inning, and then I think he had 30 in the second. So they just basically knocked him out of the game in 2 innings. And despite that, Schlittler has a 22% K-minus walk over the last 3 weeks. His Sierra is 3.33, the exit 3.11, the swing strikes almost 15%. The EV against him is 86.1 miles per hour on average. His ball rate's only 32%. So the walks have been unlucky based on the ball rate. He's getting misses in the zone. His Z contact against is less than 80%, which is very good. So I started him this week versus the Tigers, who have been good against righties. I mean, well, actually, no, I had that backwards. They've been like godly against lefties, and they've been below average versus righties. Hopefully that sticks. He's home for that as well, which with the short porch could be a little scary. But looking at the 2-start next week with the Twins and the Orioles, I'm probably playing them then too, just to get one last 2-step out of them. And then assuming all goes well with those next 3 starts, I'll play him versus the Orioles probably as well. So he's been – I was scared to start him for a while because the whip was kind of high, but after the last few starts where he's gotten the walks in check and he's been pretty dominant, I'm pretty confident now to put a lot of money behind Cam Schlittler where I have him. So it's I'm all for starting him.
Putting your money where your mouth is. That's all that matters right now. This one's interesting to me because when I think Bryce Elder, I'm just always terrified of what's to come next. I remember him actually having great starts towards the end of a season. And then I've been watching his game logs, and the dude's got three straight quality starts. He's gone 6 innings, 7 innings, 7 innings. He's allowed 3 earned runs total in those three starts. Give 8 runs at the start prior, but then another 3 runs over 7. So 4 of his last 5 starts are very quality. He's got 6 or more Ks, and 3 of those 4 quality starts were disgusting. So, like, yeah, things can get murky with Elder. He's got a 2-step this week. It's the Cubs tonight at home, and then at home versus Houston. Next week, Elder is set to face at Detroit, and then he wraps up the season versus Pittsburgh, which is a beauty as well. When you look at the stats here, it's Cubs are 94-9, Houston's 81. That could keep changing as Yordan keeps crushing baseballs. Pirates 93-8, and Detroit 86-8. So when the best opponents basically at 95 WRC+, plus, as much as the guy gives me the heebie-jeebies having to roster him, he's got a phenomenal schedule, and he's pitching pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, so I saw him with the guilds about Elder today because he was debating starting him. And
he's Team Elder, dude. Come on. He helped him win it overall.
I was going to say that, yeah. He had that 2-star week in like 2 years ago when he dominated Elder. So he's definitely partial to starting him. But he's been on and off my teams all year. Well, not constantly, but I definitely added Elder at times and dropped him right back. This is like that argument of, do you just ride the hot hand versus look at the skills, which I know you and Ryan were debating maybe in your last show or over the last couple of weeks. I want to look at how his actual results have been, Elder. Yeah, he's got 3 good starts in a row with excellent whips. He got crushed by the White Sox, go figure, before that. Yeah, the underlying numbers aren't that good. The swing strikes 8.5 last few weeks. The K-minus walks only 12%. This is a weird combo. So his BABIP's been 247, but Elder's left on base is 56.9. So he's gotten unlucky with the left on base, but he's gotten lucky with the BABIP. So that's a weird combination. I wouldn't want to start him. I think I told the Gills this too. I wouldn't trust him. But yeah, mainly because for the 2-star, it's because it's the Cubs and the Astros who have been underperforming, but they're very dangerous. Versus the Tigers and the Pirates, okay. It's a very risky 2-star. You could get gombered by Elder this week. So I think at this point you're probably locked in. I don't know when the Cubs game starts.
It already started,
so hopefully you made the right decision. if you're listening after the fact, which you have to be at this point. So
yeah.
I couldn't do it, but I see the argument for it.
Definitely. Definitely an argument to be made on that one. Like Gills has mentioned, he was on a recent show, I think it was with Waxman, I think it was his show, and he basically says there's certain times where you just got to go for the – if you want the overall, you got to shoot for the moon. Like, it is what it is, and I don't have those cojones. He does. He's won them, so kudos to him. But I could see rostering Elder this week. I could see myself in a 12 spending a buck on Elder, like, on one of these final 2 weeks.
So this is hilarious. So mid-podcast, I look at my phone. I got a notification – the guilds on Twitter. He said, should have started Elder with the guy doing the facepalm. So he actually didn't play him, but it's been one inning. Yeah.
One inning is already tilting. I love guilds.
Oh, well, everyone knows how Curlin is. Guilds rivals Curlin. He's not as bad as Curlin, but it's like a lesser degree of early reactions to baseball games. So I tell him to relax, but he is the OC champ and I'm not. So he knows what he's doing.
Exactly. That's why do what works, buddy. All right. This is one that a lot of listeners, if they've listened long enough, be like, Bubba, you're such a hypocrite. I said, no, I am not a fan of Justin Verlander, but I also know how to make, I want to try to make money. And Verlander, it's hard to deny, has a great setup coming up in his final 4 starts. Verlander faces the Dodgers this week. Okay. Sit that one out if you want. At Arizona next week. That's a beat up ball club. Then the final week, the 2-step, is where I think I'm going to be all aboard the train, and that is home versus St. Louis and home versus the Rockies. Verlander just faced St. Louis over the weekend and was very good. He threw 6 shutout innings with no walks and 6 Ks. He's been great. 3 straight starts of 2 runs or less, 4 out of his last 5, 2 runs total. He has a couple of blowups, but really it's been 1 run or less or 2 runs or less for quite a while for Verlander. Gets you close to a K per inning. Wins, we know, not a good thing. Ask his brother. But he's got one of the best schedules coming up here. the Dodgers are his hardest opponent expected. And the one other thing I'll add in there, Ben, is as we get down to these final weeks, you're going to see young pitchers shut down. You're going to see guys going for the postseason, getting their innings limits, so on and so forth. And we won't know probably till that day, or not even know, it just happens. Verlander's throwing. Hate to break it to anybody. Unless he gets hurt, Verlander's going out there. He's throwing 100 to 120 pitches every fifth day right now. That's just how this is going to go. So as much as I can't stand his brother and sometimes Verlander at times as a Giants fan, he's pitching well. Matchups are great. And if you want that kind of, and again, this could, they could make me look totally foolish by screwing this whole thing up, but on paper, he should be out there for four more starts without a whole lot of, you know, a very long leash is what I should say.
Yeah, I had him at times in deeper leagues, but looking at the schedule, I would avoid the Dodgers, which was this week. But yeah, that two-step week in week 27 would be beautiful with the Cardinals and then home versus the Rockies. And I pulled up his underlying metrics, and he's actually been pretty good.
Yes, he has.
Which is surprising. Like, the K rate's been 27%, which is like old, well, he was younger.
Horrible early in the year. Like, he came back from the IL, and all of a sudden, it's like, did he get a shot of steroids or something? I can't figure it out.
Yeah, the swing strike rate doesn't really support it, but everything else looks really good that I'm looking at here. So, yeah, avoid the Dodgers, but I think we mentioned Verlander on our previous show, right? We said we kind of like
I think it was last week because he had the Cardinals matchup. He's been the Giants have had a favorable schedule. They're been on this list a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would just avoid this week, and then the D-back start is debatable, but I definitely like the Cardinals and the Rockies two-step.
Yeah, worst if you could get him for a buck next this weekend, stash him for that final two start. That's how you can at least save money and try to maximize your counting stats that final week if possible. All right, Ben, anybody else on the righty side of things here? Like Sawyer Gibson Long's up, he's looked horrible. Pablo Lopez came back, six pretty solid innings. I think you're starting him regardless. Brandon Woodruff, you're starting. Jack Leiter has been awesome. I know there's a lot of things that make people skeptical, the BABIP and all these other things, but the dude's swinging strikes, the dude's K to walk has been so much better the last month plus. Like, he's actually looking like a guy that might be worth discussing for a draft pick next season instead of being like, okay, he's a streamer. He's got a pretty good set of matchups. Anybody else on this right-handed pitching side of things before we dig into the fab from the week?
I would not. Oh, Hendricks is on here. I would not start him.
No.
Soriano has a pretty good, Jose Soriano has pretty good matchups.
Yeah, he crushed us this last start, but that'll happen. Yes.
Yes, that was bad. So Quinn Priester, I sat. Who was he playing this week? I think he was playing the Padres this week. I did sit him this week, Priester. I forget who the matchup was, but he gets the Angels and the Cardinals. Yeah, it's a lot of pretty good pitchers. It's just weird how the list is so long below 100 for the righties, whereas it used to be so short, and now the lefties is so short. It's just funny how it's flip-flop, but baseball, they say it's a game of streaks, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. That's the kind of beauty and the curse, I guess. I don't know. There's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but yes. That's why I try to – that's why I always say DFS helps me so much, is I'll see like a hitter start to streak a little bit, and so that's where I'll get on him a week early or so in Fab, and Ryan will be like, what are you talking about on the show? And then it happens. Doesn't always happen. Trust me. Don't get these all right. But like it's a very streaky sport. A lot of peaks and valleys as we go through it. All right. Let's look at some Fab. Let's look at some Fab from the week. For those that keep track at home, we're looking at the 12-team NFBC OCs. We'll peek at the 15s as well. So the most added players and the most expensive players of the week, Ben. Things are quieting down massively with football starting, with no money involved. A lot of things are changing as we get closer to the end of the season. The most added player in the NFBC, Luis Garcia of the Houston Astros in the OCs, 121 leagues, Ben, as high as 57, as low as a dollar. He was the most added in main events, 53 leagues, as high as 50, as low as a dollar. He made his debut this past Monday. He's pitching again tonight on this Monday, as he's got his Sunday start pushed back just because, apparently, according to the Astros. Luis Garcia, 6 innings, 3 runs, no walks, 6 Ks in his debut. How excited were you to attempt to roster him?
I'd have to – let me look at my bid list, because I was in on Luis Garcia of the Astros. So I was looking as you were talking, and the OCs did a better job than the main events. There's only one Angels Luis Garcia that was added in the OCs, but there were three in the main event. So that's always fun when that happens. I hate when this happens. So I hate that fab processing screen. But yeah, he was definitely like, there was a big four for me. I think it was Garcia, Ryan Weathers. For who else the other two were, but Luis Garcia was definitely near the top of my list. What did he have now for matchups? His matchups were now Toronto and Atlanta. I think I lowered him in the list because of that. It wasn't the best matchups for him, even though it's a 2-start week, but the Blue Jays can crush you. I was just recapping what they did to Camp Schlittler. They just worked the counts on him mercilessly. So, and then the Braves, like, they just roughed up Amanaga in the first inning. So as I'm trying to deal with that as we're recording. But yeah, so Garcia, it's coming up from a long layoff. He did have, a good start to the season. In his first game back, the six innings, no walks is really good. So, but it's against the Angels, which is an okay matchup. But I didn't have a lot of money to go after him. I couldn't be too aggressive with him. But if by chance I got lucky, I would be happy having him. So I think the two-step week, it could be rough this week with Garcia. You just got to be careful because, you can still set the lineup because it's a Tuesday start for the Astros. But I'm assuming if you're adding Garcia at this point, you're probably going to play him for those two starts. So there's just some risk involved, I think. But he was definitely one of the top adds for me.
Yep, definitely risk involved. Like, he's always had his hiccups, but probably one of the better options for sure going down the stretch with Houston. They want to get some innings in to see where it goes. But yeah, I liked him. Didn't like him as much as other people, unfortunately. And I was also short on funds in some leagues. All right, Dalen Lyle. This is where OCs finally caught up, Ben. 84 OCs picked him up, as high as 69, as low as a dollar. This is a guy I've written up the last couple of weeks here. This past week, he finally got on the OC radar because he's hit safely in seven straight games now. He has two hits or more in six of the seven games. He has a home run and a stolen base over that stretch, hitting .481. Overall, though, he's been hitting for a really good average for over a month. A little bit of pop, a little bit of speed. I joked in the Discord. I said, there's like three or four potential batting average assets this week in Fab if you want to sneak around. And Dalen Lyle was towards the top of my list. What were your thoughts on Dalen Lyle, who, again, should have been widely rostered when it comes to main events?
Yeah, he's been gone for a long time, I believe. Yeah, he was last added August 17th, where he was available across my four Fab leagues. Yeah, he's someone who's been a great average play, and he kind of plays versus lefties as well, which is nice because he is a left-handed hitter, Dalen Lyle. I was kind of hoping for some more speed. He has 8 steals and 252 at-bats, so it's like a 20-ish pace, which it's fine, but there's not a lot of power either. He doesn't hit high up in all the Nationals lineup. He hits, I think, usually like 7th or 8th, so the runs aren't as good as they could be with Lyle. Actually, he's been hitting 4th lately, so I take that back. He's been hitting higher in the lineup lately, but there was a time when he wasn't, so I think just now that it's the end of the season, he's been doing so well, they're finally moving him up. He's only 22, almost 23, which means that he could even get better. So it's good to see. Yeah, this is just a case, like we always talk about, how the OCs are just catching up to the main events. And I don't see why you wouldn't play him. He's been in my one main event lineup for a long time now. I don't even check to see who he's facing. I just kind of leave Lyle in there. And in the OCs, of course, you're a little more picky with streaming. But I don't think they had a particularly good matchup. The Nationals, they had a 7-game week against the Marlins and the Pirates. So it could be a mix of a stream, but I think whoever added Lyle in 12 should probably just keep him the last 3 weeks.
Yep, keep him, play him, enjoy the batting average boost, and hopefully get a little more in the counting stat departments. Kyle Stowers, this is one I was really curious to see how it would go in Fab. Picked up in 71 OCs, as high as 54, as low as a dollar. He was picked up in 24 main events, as high as 47, as low as a dollar. He started his rehab assignment this last week. Rumors of returning this week. Rehabbed on Friday. Sat Saturday and Sunday due to general soreness. Went to Miami on Monday to get reevaluated by the team's trainers. That doesn't make me feel great. Now they could say he's fine until he's still come back here in a few days. I don't know. But when I realized he wasn't in the lineup on Sunday, I lowered my bids a bit. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that definitely hurts. Well, hurts for him, I'm sure, but it hurts for us in fantasy as well. Yeah, it's just, I feel like he, was it the, you say the oblique was what originally hurt him? So that's not a good sign. So I could just see him getting shut down now. And unfortunately, you're wasting fab on him, but which it was a good ad in theory because of how well he had been doing. You never know how Star Wars would do coming back from the injury in general and then getting reacclimated to pitching and all that. But definitely a breakout year for him. And yeah, this one hurts literally. So you can't really do much about it, but I would expect, or if you did add Stowers, just be ready to for the bad news, and you might have to cut him on Sunday.
Yep, that's something to keep in mind. At least it's an easy cut this time of the year. That's the beautiful part of that, I guess. Sean Armstrong, again, OC is catching up. We've been pounding this drum for a while on Bubba and the Bloom. Armstrong picked up in 71 OCs, as high as 36, as low as a dollar. He was picked up in 6 main events, as high as 21, as low as a buck. He's got 7 saves. He's got 3 saves in his last 5 appearances, 4 in his last 8 appearances. He's been the lockdown guy for the Texas Rangers. More importantly, over the last month plus, the dude's K to walk is insane. Swinging strike is insane. He's a beast in the back of that bullpen, and the OC's caught up to it this week. What are your thoughts on Sean Armstrong, who I really should have been rostered for a while now?
I agree. He's still available in my listener league somehow, which I just realized looking at my teams. The math wasn't mathing across the ads that I'm seeing here. So, yeah, definitely add Armstrong if you need a closer or saves. He has 3 in the last two weeks, which is pretty good. You mentioned the ratios are awesome on the year. A 7.9 whip is – that's very helpful. Even if it isn't 63 2/3 innings for Armstrong. So yeah, this is a no doubt add if you need to save. So who knows how many they're going to get in the next 3 weeks. You're hoping for like 1 a week probably. So 3, but the races are so tight right now. It's kind of crazy that any save could potentially move a league. So you just got to get what you can get.
And Texas keeps competing. So like he's going to get his chances. It looks like for the time being. Jeremiah Jackson picked up in 65 OCs, as high as 130. That's a bit aggressive, but okay. As low as a dollar. He's been a hitting machine, hitting second for the O's pretty much every game. A little bit of pop, no speed, but he's hitting for average. We've talked about him a lot on this show, it feels like, but anything else on Jeremiah Jackson?
Nope. If you didn't add him last week, though, you missed out on the 2 homers. So that's unfortunate, but he did cut down the K rate. He only had 6 Ks last week in 25 at-bats, so 27 plate appearances, that's a pretty good ratio. That was kind of one of the issues, was the BABIP was so high for Jeremiah Jackson in the first few weeks, but coming down a little bit, and it's good to see the Ks come down last week as well. So I guess the only thing that's missing is the steals, but if you need average and you need volume, then Jackson is the guy for you.
Agreed. Ha-Sung Kim was picked up in 62 OCs, as high as 26, as low as a dollar. When it comes to the main event, picked up in 27 leagues, as high as 24, as low as a dollar. Kim joined the Braves, which we talked about last week, was activated from the IL on the 2nd. So he's played in 5 games with the Braves, hit safely in 3 out of 5, home run, 4 RBIs. I think this was a no-brainer. If you needed middle infield help, heck, if you needed just utility help, Ha-Sung Kim, while healthy, was going to be, should have been, one of the best options on the waiver wire.
Agreed. Yeah, mainly if you need steals, of course. The power, you can't, even though he hit a homer last week, you can't really rely on Kim for power. But he should play every day with the Braves. They've been hot, so definitely a good add. And I think he'll be a potentially underrated draft pick next year because the lineup should be better. We keep saying that, but I think he'll be helpful if assuming you need speed. But at the same time, weren't his injuries to his legs? So he had a back injury recently.
He's had back, hamstrings, shoulder was the original injury from last year. He's all over the place.
Yeah, so he's had 3 injuries this year, even though he was recovering from the 1 start of the season. So he is 29, but I think the speed is probably still there for him. So he should be valuable down the stretch.
Agreed. A few more here. Jordan Leisure was picked up in 60 OCs, as high as 22, as low as a dollar. He was picked up in 38 main events, as high as 33, as low as a dollar, the third most added player in the main events. Leisure has taken over closing duties in Chicago. He saved 3 out of the last 4 games that he's pitched in. He's got 7 saves on the year, 3.88 ERA, but he has not allowed a run. He's allowed a run one time over his last like 12 starts, and the strikeouts are outstanding. He gets like almost two per outing of late, which is pretty good. He's a beast. He's really found his groove, and the White Sox are winning more games these days, which helps a ton. Talked about him on Thursday night for that exact reason. He was like 0% rostered in OCs heading into the weekend, so that is up just a little bit, which means he's still widely available going into next week.
Yeah, that's wild. And the week he had was wild. He had five innings, three saves, and six Ks. That's he basically had a starter's output, but with three saves. It's kind of wild. I'm a little upset, too, because he was available in the league where my good man event is. He went for a dollar. I guess I could have switched out Mason Miller for him, but I don't know. I just assumed that I wasn't going to be in play for anything like that. Looking at it now, I could have beat a dollar. Oh, well, though. Your point about Leisure over Brad Keller actually has some pretty good legs on it. I was going the route of Keller being on the better team, but the White Sox have been better. It's like to your point, and Leisure has been pitching extremely well too lately. The year-to-date stats are not nearly as good as Brad Keller's for Leisure. Leisure has like a much higher WHIP, 1.3, but the ERA is 3.88. But as of late, to your point, he has been a lot better. At least this last week he has been. So, yeah, if you need saves, this makes sense. I feel like the White Sox have gone in and out, though, too, as not to the same degree as the Marlins, because remember, we were all excited for Grant Taylor at one point, and there are other guys along the way as well. So hopefully they keep Leisure as the closer the last 3 weeks, but we're still uncertain with Brad Keller and the Cubs as well, too. But I think maybe it's more of a toss-up in terms of how I view it going forward, so. Hopefully, if you need saves, you're able to get at least one of the two of them.
Yeah, agreed. Hopefully, you get at least one of the two, preferably Jordan Leisure, but we'll see how that one pans out. Jake Berger was picked up in 58 leagues, as high as 32, as low as a dollar. He's back. He's hitting around 200, got a couple home runs, but he's playing every day right now, so that's what I think got people interested. But I looked at his profile before writing the Fab article, and I was like, yeah, came back and homered. He's playing every day, but he's still just – I know he can get it going, Ben, but it's not great at the moment.
Well, he had a pretty good last couple of weeks. I want to pull up the Rangers. It's funny. Roster Resources is sleeping. They don't have Berger as a starter. But, yeah, he started the last two times versus a righty. A lot of it was three lefties for Berger, so I could get being a little skeptical to buy into the fact that he's going to be a full-time starter again. But he had 13 at-bats. That was the week before he got hurt. So, yeah, he had 18 at-bats last week, two homers, only five Ks, which is good for him. He should be the starter over Rowdy, as much as we love Rowdy, but Berger is the better version of Rowdy, I think. So it makes sense to add him. I would have been in on Berger as well after seeing but it's kind of like a Colby Thomas thing, because remember when we were talking about Colby Thomas as an ad, they had faced a bunch of lefties. And then he stopped playing versus righties altogether. So I don't think it's going to happen to Berger, but there is that chance. But at this point in the year, I think it's worth the gamble to see if he sticks and can hit four homers for you in the last 3 weeks.
Agreed. Anyone else you want to discuss here? We got Tyler Wells was a popular pickup. He was added in 56 OCs, as high as 18, as low as a dollar. Second most added in main events, 46 leagues, as high as 25, as low as one. Returned from the IL, made his debut this season, and dominated the Padres. Were you interested in a guy like Tyler Wells?
I was. He was one of the four I was forgetting about when we were discussing Luis Garcia earlier. So it was Wells, Weathers, and Andrew Alvarez were the four that I was in on across most leagues. And I had Wells second in that list. I had him ahead of Garcia for the better single star versus the volume of the Luis Garcia two-step. So, I think – well, Wells is risky as well because he's been hurt for so long. But I think there's a good shot that he could be pretty helpful as well. His thing's always been whip. Not that he could have a huge impact at whip at this point in the year, but any help you can get, you can take.
Yeah, most definitely. But that's about all I got for it this week, because it's all – you know, Cade Cavalli had a two-step. Luis Morales now had a two-step. Brian Berger keeps getting some love. Ryan Weathers coming back from the IL. Is he on your radar at all?
Yeah, he was – so my list for this one main event was Weathers first, then Wells, then Andrew Alvarez, then Luis Garcia. So I was preferring Weathers. I think – who was he? He had a really good matchup. He was facing – or lined up to face the Nationals. It's funny. He's confirmed for Thursday, but then when Tuesday and Wednesday are unconfirmed for the Marlins. It's kind of funny how it's like that, but it's definitely risky because he's been up and down with the injuries, weathers, and it was like a forearm, I think, again with him or something like that. So this is a chance that he could get hit around or just go like 3 or 4 innings, and it could be a waste. But on upside, I liked Weathers the most.
Yeah, I'm with you on upside alone. I thought there was a ton to like with Ryan Weathers and over a lot of these kind of returning options or even some other streaming options this week. All right, Ben, let's take a look. What did we do in Fab this week? Let's see who you added and how your how your big dog main event league turned out.
All right, so the New Jersey main. Let me go to the right page. All right, I had a little money to spend, so I figured I'd just be annoying and take some decent players. So I had Tyler Wells, dropped Aaron Civale 12-3. This is where I also got Andrew Alvarez. I overspent 12-0. I dropped Joey Wentz. And then I added Jake McCarthy, so he's back to bug me again. Dropped Lourdes Gurriel, which was an upsetting injury. I think we didn't talk about that, but he tore his ACL, so he's done for the year. I got McCarthy 3-1. And I added Victor Scott, dropped David Hamilton, who's been annoying as well, 1-1. Of course, he on my benches, he started Sunday Hamilton and got a steal. But it was the only game he played over the weekend. I don't know what the Red Sox are doing with him. And then my main event 2, I added Andrew Alvarez, dropped Tyler Anderson 1-0, dropped Steven Kolek. So I did add Kolek here, dropped Andre Piante 1-0, added Johan Oviedo, dropped Nick Castellanos 1-1. So yeah, Castellanos is a drop. And then added McCarthy again, dropped Hamilton again 1-0. I'll skip main 3 for now. So the listener league, which has been a pain too, because I was at one point I was second in my league, but I was 3rd overall. Aaron Ashbury he caught up to me in my league. He's actually leading my league now, and he's ahead of me in the overall now too. I think it's been quite the job well done by Aaron. I added Jacob McCarthy here. I only have $3 left after this week. I dropped Edward Cabrera 1-0. So I'm kind of weaning away from all these starters and looking at more hitters because come the final week, I want a lot of hitters on my bench. So I'm fine getting a little deficit right now with dropping off pitchers and adding hitters. And then for main event 3, a little busy actually. So I went into the week with $9. So much money. I added Chase. So I was actually pretty happy with these ads. So I added Chase Mydroth. He was dropped. I dropped David Hamilton 2-1. I need average and steals. So there's Mydroth. I added Jake Myers 2-0. I dropped Luis Matos. Average and steals. And then I added Andrew Alvarez, dropped Shane Smith 2-1. So I kind of wasted the $2 on Alvarez, but it was good to have that security in case I decided to start him or something happened. But so I was happy with the Mydroth and Myers ads. Hopefully they can steal for me and help my average because that's where I can gain the most in the overall.
I like it. Real quick, can you elaborate on why you want more hitters to finish the season? I know why, but can you elaborate for the listeners real quick?
Yes. So I've realized this more playing NFBC the last few years, but so when you come to week 27, you can only start 9 pitchers for NFBC, for example, or your standard roto league. So why would you want to have 12 pitchers on your roster? If anything, you want to have like 1 or 2 in case something happens on Monday, like we like with the Trey Turner injury, you don't want to go with just 9 starters into that Monday, because if someone gets hurt, then you get a 0, but you don't need to have 4 guys on your bench who are pitchers going into the last week. And then good thing about NFBC at least is that we have the midweek hitter lineup setting. So you have 6 bench hitters going into Monday. You can choose. And also too, it happens at the last week, which people could forget about because it's once a year, but regulars will sit if the teams are clinched or they're out of it and they're veterans, they might just sit guys to allow them to get hurt. And then in that case, you could have a stud that you've been playing all year and relying on, and now he's sitting 2 out of 3 games. And then you're kind of just wasting a lineup spot to that degree as well. So I want to try to get 5 of the 6 hitters by week 27 on my rosters, just so I have that flexibility come Friday when I'm setting lineups. And then I have like 1 spare pitcher just in case, or if I was debating with the Andrew Alvarez thing, I wasn't sure if I wanted to start him. I knew he had a good matchup versus the Pirates. And if I decided this morning, if I wanted to play him, I have that optionality, but I don't need to have 3 starters to choose from week 27. So that's the thinking behind it.
Nope, I get it completely because, yeah, you want that opportunity to maximize at-bats both sections of the NFBC week where pitching you obviously can't. So maybe coming in the next few weeks, if you need to decide who to drop, maybe it's a pitcher, not a hitter going forward type situations. Think about that as you build it out. For me, one of my OCs, I had one move. I picked up Pablo Lopez, dropped Edward Cabrera 3-2. That felt good. And a beat Bubba OC, picked up Max Muncy, Dodgers Max Muncy, returned from the AL in the lineup on Monday. Dropped Roman Anthony, T's and P's, you did me well. 2-1. Love this time of the year. In one of my standalones, picked up Jeremiah Jackson, dropped Adelis Garcia, 4-4 tie. Got Ha-Seon Kim, dropped Mike Yastrzemski, 4-1. Picked up Jordan Leisure, dropped injured Kyle Finnegan, 4-0. So again, appreciate the moves in that one. In the Vegas 12-teamer, got Ha-Seon Kim, dropped Adelis Garcia on the IL, 3-3. Added Jordan Leisure, dropped Nathan Eovaldi, 3-0. That 3-3 feels good because I'm in fourth place, so one of the top three teams got hosed on that one. And then Nabil Chrismet, I added him for his two-step, dropped Mackenzie Gore, 2-0. And I've been talking about Chrismet for a couple weeks, so I have him at a 15 already. Now I got him at a 12 to go with him. Bubba Bloom, listener, auction league, picked up Luis Severino, dropped Ryan Helsley, 1-0. Severino was way down my waterfall, so that was how that one went, because that was a very active Fab week still. And then in my OLAC, which I'm still trying, I'm in third. It's tied up top. It's nice. So there's room to make some magic happen. Picked up Sean Armstrong, dropped Kyle Finnegan, 5-1. Picked up Francisco Alvarez, dropped Freddie Fermin, 4-0. Picked up Kyle Stowers, dropped Jason Dominguez, 4-0. That one stings big time. And then picked up Dalen Lyle, dropped Luis Matos, 4-2. And that leads me to my last point. I've moved on pretty much from Luis Matos, Ben, as he's not playing every day anymore. I prefer Drew Gilbert over Luis Matos if you want a Giants outfielder right now.
I agree. I mentioned the one Matos drop in the good main, and I think I had Gilbert on that bid list as well. So it's annoying because Matos, I don't know why he's shown that he has potential. They just aren't really giving him a shot to prove it. So I don't know if you're how big of a fan you are of Matos. I know you always liked Ramos better, at least when it came to Fab that one time, but I feel like they're not really giving him a good shot at proving that he can stick.
Yeah, they need to let him play. I'm hoping the last 3 weeks we get to see it. It's frustrating. It's like, okay, yeah, so things aren't working, sure, but like keep going with the kid. Keep trying because the skills are there, and we need to know if he's part of the mix for next year. It's that simple. But maybe he's not. Maybe it's Gilbert and a platoon, or it's Gilbert because you have Elliot Ramos, you have Jung-Hoo Lee. They're going to start pretty much every day unless something really crazy happens to Ramos. So you got Gilbert and you got Matos, and Gilbert's out playing him right now. So that's kind of where it's going. And Matos might be the fourth outfielder. As a Giants fan, I like having those four as the outfielders. I'll say that much. That does leave some nice options there. But and the thing is, the Giants made a run. So now they're kind of back in a race, kind of. So I think they can't afford to just be like, oh, let the kid play, see what happens. They actually are like four games out of a playoff berth, which probably still a lot to overcome in 3 weeks, but not insurmountable. So you never know. All right, we're going to wrap it up there, my friend. Any final thoughts? 2 more weeks of Fabs, 3 more weeks of baseball to go. If you guys started Ryan Burgert, I'm sorry. That's all I'm going to say. Not good.
I did say I was skeptical. No, we didn't talk about this today, did we? It was Kolek.
It was Kolek. You talked about Burgert, 8 runs and 3 1/3. So, yeah.
That's brutal.
That's going to be a rough way to start the week.
Yeah, I've been stressing over the show to start, but it's not nearly to that degree, knock on wood, at least.
Yeah, not yet. Thank goodness.
No homers either, just a lot of hits, a handful of doubles. So
he's good at getting kind of more BABIP'd. That's kind of one of his things. He'll get base hit to death.
A 3-3 K to walk doesn't help either.
That does not help the cause. Very good point there.
Despite that, though, it shows you how good he was pitching. He has a 4.17 ERA and a 1.28 whip still, despite getting destroyed. But he washed all that away. So,
yes.
Yeah, those starts are brutal. I was saying at the beginning of the show, you're trying to avoid those landmines. And, you don't have a face right now if you started Ryan Burgert.
Yep, agreed. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back to you guys next week to recap week 26 for whatever it's worth. And dig in, more importantly, to the final 2 weeks of the season. If you're going to start streaming pitchers, it's going to really help you in your daily leagues, I think, if you want to mix and match going forward. And more importantly, help you as you go to pick guys up to finish, you know, the home stretch. Maybe we'll throw some other nuggets out there for you as well. Maybe talk some hitting sides of it, as Ben, like, if we want to maximize our bench and hitting, maybe we'll look at some options in that direction. We'll play around with it to give you guys a little more than your Fab recap, because I still like doing it, because you're talking about players, and maybe opens your eyes to them for even next year, because I'm always thinking of drafting as I am. But it gives you kind of, you know, I don't know. There's not a whole lot going forward to help with. I get it. But we'll figure out something for you. We'll keep it going as usual. We'll be here on Monday, most likely. But more importantly, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. We're rooting him on as he fights. We have a lot of our buddies in the top 10. It's good to see a lot of guys battling it out. So we have a lot of guys to root for in that one. But you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I'm at BD Intric. Until next time, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 782. Catch you all next time.